You know, we've been going through the Ten Commandments, but we haven't got to the greatest commandment yet. And I was thinking about this after the first service, as I was talking to some other people as they were leaving after the service. Maybe we should have done this one first. I don't know. But we're going to do it today. We're going to talk about the greatest command. And so we've talked about 10. And you can continue to study those 10, and I hope that you will, in Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5, because they're still relevant. Remember, we talked about their relevancy yet today. But today we're going to talk about the greatest command. And so I'm going to invite you to turn to Deuteronomy 6 for a couple verses. It's not going to be on the big screen today, so please pick up your Bible, open it up to Deuteronomy chapter 6. We're going to see what the Lord said to the children of Israel through Moses here in a couple of verses, and then we're going to go on to the New Testament in Matthew 22. So let me encourage you again, if you don't know the Ten Commandments yet, to revisit them in Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5. Get familiar with them and recognize maybe, I just hope that over these last months and weeks that we've learned something about the Ten Commandments. But in Deuteronomy 6, right after the Deuteronomy 5, Ten Commandments had been laid out, Moses says, the Lord says through Moses, in verse 4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." And so he's given them the ten, and he's given them others. You can look through Exodus and you can see in Deuteronomy. He's given them these commands. And then the Lord says to the children, "You shall love the Lord. You shall love him with all you've got in your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart," he says. "You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in the house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes." And so quite simply, quite basically, God is saying to the children of Israel here through Moses, love the Lord your God with all you've got. Remember these commands and tell your children about them. Now fast forward to Matthew 22. Turn in your Bibles in the New Testament to Matthew 22, beginning at verse 34. You know, I've been going, while you're turning there, let me tell you this. I've been going through the Psalms and the Proverbs quite a bit lately, and I've just been re-energized by reading them. And I was reading through Psalm 119 a couple of weeks ago, and it began to strike me, as I've been talking about the Ten Commandments, the laws of God, it began to strike me, you know what, the psalmist is referring to the laws in here quite regularly. Did you know that? Who's read Psalm 119 lately? Anybody? A couple of you have. Outstanding. Did you notice, like I noticed, for those of you that aren't familiar, Psalm 119 is a little lengthy. It's 176 verses. But did you notice as you read through Psalm 119 how the psalmist reiterated over and over and over? Matter of fact, I counted them. 150 times he referred in that one chapter to the laws, the ordinances, the statutes, the decrees, the words, and the precepts of God. 150 times in one chapter. You begin to get the flavor. He thinks they're important. And I begin to get the flavor that I think they are important. And so let me encourage you, if you're not familiar with the Ten Commandments yet, to dig into Deuteronomy 5 and remind yourself. But let us go on in Matthew 22 and be reminded of the greatest command. Matthew 22, verse 34 says this, "But when the Pharisees went or heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him and saying, 'Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?'" They're trying to single him out. They're testing him a little bit. They're trying to get him to lay out to them, this is what you must do. You see, they're going purely by, look at how good I can do things. And here's what his reply was. Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This, he said, is the greatest commandment." You see, they were thinking he would lay out some, maybe one of the ten. And he said to them quite simply, remember, and he referred back to Deuteronomy 6 when God said through Moses to the children of Israel, love the Lord your God. He said, this is the greatest command. And the second is like it. They're hand in hand, he's saying. They're interchangeable. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commands hang all the law and the prophets. He's not doing away with the other ten. As a matter of fact, as you read through the New Testament, you will see that Paul was quick to remind us that it was through the knowledge of these commands that sin is brought to our mind. We're enlightened to sin because of the knowledge of these ten. And Jesus is not saying we're doing away from those. But brothers and sisters, let me tell you this right up front. We can do the very best of adhering to all ten. We can have that checklist. We can check, yeah, Jim, I didn't do that, I didn't do that, I didn't do that. We can have this checklist and never be in love with the Master. And so when they came to him with that question and said, by the way, which one's the best one? Which ones do we really need to emphasize? He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your strength and all your mind. And let me just remind us, brothers and sisters, we do not get to heaven based on whether or not we keep the ten. Okay? You still with me? We do not get to heaven based on whether we, yes, Jim, I can check that off. I didn't violate that command today. But brothers and sisters, we keep the ten because we've experienced the one. We keep the Ten Commandments because we have experienced the greatest command, which is to love the Lord my God with all of what I am. When I fall in love with Jesus and mean it, when I surrender my life to the Lord Jesus and fall in love with God and develop that relationship with Him, we began to keep the Ten out of love for Him. I used this analogy earlier, and I'll use it again. You know your relationship with children. Most of you are either a child or have children. You know that it pleases mommy and daddy when we do right. We keep the commands then because we want to please the Father, because we love Him just like your children love you, just like you loved your parents when you were a child. And even though there was some chastening, there was some disciplining, there was some correcting, there was some redirecting, you loved them. And that's what he's talking about here when he says, love the Lord your God with everything that you are. We end up keeping the ten because we love Him. We end up keeping the ten because we want to please our Father. Just like our children, our relationship with our children, or your relationship with your parents. You know, we just got done going through the Truth Project on Sunday nights, and a lot of you saw either some or all of that. And I want to refer to a statement that comes from the last tour, tour number 12. Del Tackett makes this statement and this question all wrapped up in four little words. He said, God cares, do I? All wrapped up, a statement and question. God cares, do I? And that is the whole of the statement. And what he's saying and what he's meaning is quite simply, God so loved the world that He gave His Son for people. God cares for people, do I? Do you remember what He said? Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind. And the second is like the first, love your neighbor as yourself. God sent Christ to die for people because He cares for people. And Del's question was quite simply, God cares for people, do I? Does the church care for people? That translates, brothers and sisters, to not just people in the church. That translates to people in jail, or with a different lifestyle than mine, or different skin color than mine, or different backgrounds than mine, or the homeless, or I love that example they had in the Truth Project. They had a guy by the name of Flash. And anybody that saw the Truth Project remembers Flash, don't you? All tattooed up, and he said, my life is ink, one of his statements. And then towards the end, somebody questioned Flash about his life a little bit. And Flash's story was a very good story. And Flash said, you know, my mother was a monster. Never knew my dad. Have a child, never get to see it. And he began to pour out his story. And the point that the Truth Project was trying to make is, because he looks a little different, because he maybe has a little different background, maybe has a little different opinion of things, God loves him. God sent Christ to die for him. And the question Dell had for us, does the church love him? Because you remember what God said and Jesus said, to love my neighbor as myself. When I'm so in love with the Master, it should be something that's just second nature, to love my neighbor as myself, regardless of who they were, to love my neighbor as myself. And so I've asked myself this question over and over in these last days as I've thought about this greatest command, and I've asked it of myself, believe me, and I've asked it of the church. Do I love the Lord God so much that I really do indeed love my neighbor as myself? That's a barometer. Do I love the Lord, my God, with an intensity, on a reality, a passion, if you will, that I actually love my neighbor as myself? You say, Jim, my neighbor ain't very nice to me. That's my point. My neighbor doesn't think the same way I do. That's his point. And so I've been wrestling with this question, do I love the Lord God? Do I really? So that it shows to my neighbor, regardless of who my neighbor is. Do I love the Lord God with all of my soul, that it shows in my conduct and my behavior towards him or her? And you know what? Or my behavior towards my wife, or to my children, or to my boss, or to my enemy. Do I love the Lord with a passion that shows in how I treat other people? That's what I've been asking myself. For me and for Christians. Because you know what? You've heard me say this before, brothers and sisters. If the world is ever going to see Jesus, they're going to see them in how you behave towards them. Does my life reflect Christ in everyday living, Monday through Saturday? Because if it doesn't, they're never going to see Jesus. That's why Jesus said the greatest command is to be so in love with the Father that you love your neighbor automatically as yourself. And I've asked myself, do I love the Lord my God with all my strength so that I can pull myself together enough to love that person that nobody else seems to love? And you know what I'm talking about. Because you've been in schools, and you've been amongst people, and you know they exist, that person that has to eat lunch by themselves. You know that person exists in school that kids tease. Dell and the Truth Project gave us a very heart-wrenching example of that. And we know the same ones because we've been there. We've been in the public. We've been amongst people. And wherever there is people, there are outcasts. There are people that people look down on. And my question is to us today, do we love the Lord our God with an intentionality that we love the outcast? I love our neighbors. And Sherry's been ministering to our neighbors because they've had some surgeries and they've had some difficulties. And Sherry was ministering to our neighbor the other day that has some difficulties. And she has her daughter living with her. Her daughter is 43 years old and she's a smart girl. She's a very capable woman. But yet when she was in school as a little girl, she told Sherry, when I was a little girl, they called me retard. Because she looked a little different. She talked a little different. And you know that's happened around us. You've seen it. You can refer back to your school days or you can refer to your job days when somebody's sitting at the lunch table by themselves day after day after day. And Jesus is asking us in the church house, brothers and sisters, God loves them, do we? Jesus is asking us in the church house, just because they're different, just because they're locked up, just because they're maybe a little handicapped, God loves them. Do we, the church, love your neighbor as yourself, is what he said. It's just like the first commandment that says, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, and mind. God cares for them, and I wonder sometimes, does the church? And I've asked myself this question, and I'll ask it of you. When was the last time you went out of your way to visit someone that no one else was visiting? At your workplace, at your school, at your neighborhood, in prisons, wherever. When was the last time you took the time to visit somebody else that nobody else was visiting? When was the last time you showed mercy or compassion to someone that others were singling out or teasing or picking on? Because that's what Jesus does. When was the last time you spent much of the day in quiet fellowship with the Father? You say, Jim, I got stuff to do. That's my point. How important is he to us? Let's break it down then. Let's cut back a little bit. When was the last time you spent 2 or 3 hours with the Father because you love him? And brothers and sisters, I'm not trying to get on your toes. I got to get on my own first. But we'll gladly spend 2-3 hours on TV. Will we not? We'll gladly spend 2-3 hours on the computer. We'll gladly spend 2-3 hours shopping or at a magazine or this and that and the other thing. How much do I love the Father? Jesus said, that is the greatest command. To love the Lord my God with all of who I am means spending a little time with the Father. I'll spend time with all these other avenues in life and I haven't spent any time with the Father. Do I really love him? We say we love him. We say we love him with all of our hearts. But he doesn't get our time. He doesn't get much of our attention. He doesn't get much of our energy. And so you see, brothers and sisters, I've concluded for Jim and perhaps the larger church, we cannot sit here and say, I love the Lord, and not love my neighbor. Doesn't work. Jesus addressed that behavior in Matthew 23 when he addressed the Pharisees and he called them hypocrites. And so I'm talking to myself here, and it may apply to the church. We can say we love the Lord Jesus, but if our lives don't reflect loving him, then do we really? Or is it just skin deep? We cannot sit here in church on Sundays, brothers and sisters, and say that we love the Lord with all of our might when we do not love our neighbor in action. Now let me refer momentarily to the Good Samaritan, because you know the story. He loved in action. And when the question was asked of Jesus about the greatest command, he gave the story in Luke about the Good Samaritan in Luke 10, 25 to 29. And he never did answer when the lawyer came back and said, well, who's my neighbor? He never did answer the question who his neighbor was. But I'll tell you what he did answer. He answered what a good neighbor is. That's what he answered. Jesus said that the second is just like the first. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And brothers and sisters, I was talking to John just yesterday or a day or so ago. And we were talking about this very thing. And he said to me, Jim, how do we do it? How do we love the Lord our God with a passion and an intensity that's real? And I said, John, I don't know. I'm not that smart, but I said, I know what it is for me. I said, it's just one simple word, and I believe it's applicable to a whole lot of folks. It is surrender. It is surrender to the Master. Brothers and sisters, we've got to get me out of the way. If we're ever going to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, we've got to get me out of the way. Me is in the way in America and perhaps much of the world. I don't know. But if we are ever going to fall deeply in love with the Master, we must surrender. Didn't he say, after all, we must deny ourselves, take up our cross to follow him? We've got to get me out of the way. We've got to surrender who we are, what we've got, what's attached to us. We've got to surrender and get that out of the way and get in love with the Master. This is not a robotic thing, brothers and sisters. This is a volunteer thing. I want to serve the Master. Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God because why? Because you choose to. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Why? Because you choose to please the Father. You are in love with the Master. This is not some robotic thing. This is not some skin deep thing. This is who we are. This is how we are made up. When we come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and allow His Spirit in us, loving the Lord our God is not just words. It is loving our neighbor in action. It is loving Him in action. Let me conclude with this because our time's already up. I got some things to go, but our time is up. I'll say this once again. Jesus did not answer the question as to who was our neighbor in Luke 10:25, but he did answer what a good neighbor was. And my question for us today is, are we there? Who gets Voice of the Martyrs magazine? Did you read it this last week? It's got an article in there about Nigeria. And if you have paid any attention to and have seen this on Christian radio or in Christian publications, you will know that Christians are under attack in Nigeria. Southern Nigeria is Christian. Northern Nigeria is Muslim. There's a make-believe line in the center where they come in contact. They come in conflict. They clash. And in Jews or Jaws, J-O-O-S, however you say it, Nigeria, some 2 months ago, 6 weeks ago, nearly 500 Christians were hacked to death with machetes. And the point I'm trying to make is really quite simple, because there's pictures in there. You can get the flavor, okay? You know what happens with machetes. People die, people lose arms, legs, and all that kind of stuff. The point I'm trying to make is this. When the Voice of the Martyrs got there a few days later, they flew in a doctor who got there a few days later. He gets right in the middle of these several towns. Jews is one of them. And people are dead, mass graves, homes are burned, churches are burned, people are suffering, people have limbs gone, including kids that are 4 or 5 years old. And yet when Sunday came, they gathered together again in the city to worship and to praise Jesus, and carnage all around them. And one of the church leaders said to the Voice of the Martyrs representatives, we are Christians and we need to forgive them. Now you think about that for a minute once in a while, brothers and sisters, and be reminded, do I really love the Lord my God with all of my heart? That is loving their neighbor as themselves. That is loving, as Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, you have heard it said, love your neighbor, but he said it's easy. I'm paraphrasing. It's easy to love our family and those who love us, but it's not easy to love our enemy. But I tell you, he said, love your enemies and pray for those who despitefully use you. That's where these people in Nigeria are at. So in love with the Master. Carnage and mayhem all around them. Death of loved ones, burned down churches, burned down homes, and yet their compassion for Jesus is real. Their compassion for their enemy is real because they have taken the greatest command very, very seriously. And my question for us in America, in Motley more specifically today, or whatever church we come from today, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we that in love with the Master? Are we that in love with the Master that it shows to our neighbors? And I guess it all boils down to this. Do I really love Him, or is it just words? Do I really, really know Him? Do I know Him to the point He's changed me? Do I know Him to the point, doesn't matter what happens to me, my hope is in Him? Do I know Him to the point that I have surrendered everything that I am to Him? Everything that little song says, everything I've got and everything I'm not, I give it to you. Do we love Him to that extent? Because that is what God was talking about in Deuteronomy chapter 6. That is what Jesus was talking about in Matthew 22. He said, love the Lord your God with everything you've got. And let it show.